I haven't started yet, Tony. Don't time me yet. I wonder if you could just turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. I found this a particularly, while you're just getting there, still don't start timing yet, Tony. I found this quite difficult because Nigel asked me to preach a couple of weeks ago, as with Steph and Donna and Steve. And I prepared a couple of things which I thought were really exciting, but I just felt God saying, I don't want you to talk about those things. And about 4 days ago, he gave me something else, and he gave me the scripture. And it is strong on my heart. I'm really for what I want to preach about. But it's quite a long passage, and to fit it in, I'm going to have to go quite far. So forgive me if I race a bit. Okay, I'm reading from the New King James for a change, because there's some words in here which I really like, which, I mean, they're scriptural words just the same as everything else, but sometimes the NIV, I personally find, waters things down, but don't tell Nigel I said that. He'll hear it on the tape. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Right. I've just entitled this, if we need a name, Are You Growing? From the worship, we picked up quite clearly what Jesus has done and what he is worthy of, why we must worship, why we must praise him. But from the time we get saved, this is one of my favorite little topics, going from when we first got saved and how we must change. We used to be like this, and now we've got to become like that. And this passage here really describes that. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, it's multiplied to us. It's not just added. So we're going to kind of grow in many dimensions. We're going to be growing in our depth, in our length, in our width, and our height for the love of God, which I think is a great thing. It's not just being added. It's something that's really alive and moving forward. And it's a privilege to move on and to get to know God, because it says they're in the knowledge of God. And we're not just saved because of what Jesus did. Well, we are, but our response is not just to leave it there. If we're not moving forward, we're getting left behind. And how do we move forward? By getting to know him. And this passage tells us how to get to know him. It all starts with the fear of God, as we know, as it says quite a few times in the Word. It says wisdom only starts with the fear of God. So if you've got many other things, that's fine, but you haven't started yet. And from that fear, from understanding the fear of God, we obviously get to know the love of God from his perfect sacrifice. We get to know his generosity, his disciplines, etc. Supernaturally imparted. And no other faith has that. There's many other beliefs that are head religions, where there are lots of teaching, lots of instruction, lots of do's and don'ts, and lots of meetings, which are good. Meetings are great. As Steph said, don't forsake getting together. But the thing is, we've got to know him. And so we've got as far as that, getting to know the basic things that we need to know about our God. I'm going to go down to verse 4. By which have been given to us exceeding, that's why I like this translation, exceedingly great. That's much better than just kind of okay, you know. It's exceedingly great and precious promises. As you all know, the Word of God is filled with promises. But we need to know what those promises are. Now, the first one, I think, is here. The first promise is to be partakers of His divine nature. Now, just to show you how generous He is towards us, He could actually just give us a whole load of rules and regulations and leave you down there. But the scriptures say that we're seated with Him in heavenly places. He's lifted us up from a sinner to a priest, level with Him, not equal in value, but in that same place. And we are partakers of that divine nature. So everything He has, it says in Revelation that when we see Him, we will be like Him. And on top of that, we have escaped the corruption of this world through lust. So it's like a double-sided coin. We've been led into this glorious inheritance. And at the same time, as we're growing, He's chipping away all that stuff that we brought with us and some of the stuff we still carry with us. So is everybody with me? Are we on this journey? Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, that's another word I like, because it's very easy just to believe and just do what you're told in your own time, as you feel. But the word says diligent. And I think that's a very strong word. It's more than hard working. It means actually taking on the burden of that thing and moving with it. So we diligently move forward. And now here come a whole list of little checkpoints that we've got to go through. And what I've done is, like most preachers do, is I've looked up dictionary meanings for these things so that we can actually explain what they are. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now that's the starting point, faith. And we all either have a mustard seed or a little bit more in varying degrees, but that's the first gift God's given us. The rest is kind of up to us. Even though Jesus has done it all, there's some stuff we have to do. He helps us, He empowers us, but we've kind of got to do this ourselves. So the first thing we add is virtue. In this translation, it says virtue. I don't know what it says in yours. And the dictionary says that's moral quality. So in other words, are you full of integrity? Do you do the right things when people aren't watching you, when you're alone, when you're just with God? Are you happy that He can see right through you? That's virtue. That's the second step after faith. Then we add knowledge. And I always thought knowledge was just something in your head. But the dictionary says it's understanding from experience. So it talks about something we have to experience, something we have to get to know. And this is obviously Jesus. So as we get to know Him and get to know His ways, we gain knowledge. That's the next step. Then the next step from knowledge, we go to self-control. And self-control over what? Over our emotions and our actions. Because we don't want to go through this walk having to regret things we've done on like spontaneous, impulsive moments. So self-control. The next one is perseverance, which they say is continued effort and determination. It's good to start well, but we've got to finish well. If we don't finish well, we might as well have not started. So we have to pace ourselves over this long walk that we have with the Lord. Are we going to finish? Pace yourself to finish it. The next one is godliness. Now, I always thought godliness meant to be like God. It seems to mean that to me. But the dictionary says simply obeying and respecting God. And I think that makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? Because now we know what we've got to do. Trying to be like God, who we don't fully know, we know in part. We can see Him through a glass darkly, as it says. But to actually obey Him and respecting Him, that is being godly. The next one is brotherly kindness, which is about, obviously, other people, showing an interest in other people's lives. And then the last one is love. Now, I'm not talking about just friendship. I'm talking about agape love, which is the love that Jesus had for us, the love which means I lay my life down for you. I prefer you to myself. And rightly so, it's the last one, because it's quite hard to get to that. We think that we're full of love just because we've been saved. Well, we've got to know His love, but it has to be outworked in our lives. And this could take a lifetime. And then he says in verse 8, if these are yours, and if they're plentiful, not barren, but fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. All these things are for you. If you have taken this on board and followed these steps, All these things are for you. These are ways that you can ensure that you're not going to fall away. But then it says in verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So that puts pay to the theory that once saved, always saved. I think it's hard to fall away. I think the Lord is very gracious, and there's a fine line. We don't know the line. But there is a sense that we've got to be moving on. We have to. And I think one of the biggest problems I see is what I call intellectual Christianity. It's great to study. The Bible says we must study to show ourselves approved and to know the word, etc., etc. But I think extreme study, in this case, it often seems to lead people off the path. I've heard of people going to Bible college, getting degrees, and they come out and they've backslidden, or they found some alternative belief. Now, I'm not saying there's a fault with the teaching system. I'm saying it's a fault with the mindset. Are we thinking this God is an intellectual God? Well, yes, he is. But I'd say he's more of a heart God. Otherwise, how would he reach simple people that haven't had education in far-flung parts of the earth? So it's not an intellectual journey, even though you need to use your brains. Because God didn't take our brains away when we got saved. Right, where have I got to? Right, these steps are the road. Forgetting these things is to lose our way. And also, knowledge puffs up. Have you ever sometimes seen, I always chuckle a bit, have you seen these sometimes professors and extremely well-educated people, and they're walking around a university campus and they got funny clothes on, and I say, well done, I really appreciate your learning, but sometimes they don't look like they relate to anything that's going on. They are so focused on what they know that just a greeting or hello, how's it going, you know, don't seem to understand that. Anyway, that's just my opinion. Yeah, now we've got to know these things, we've got this far. It's important to realize that knowing God is, we can't stand still. If we stand still, we're not still. We're actually gone backwards, because God is a moving God. He walks. The Bible, in the Gospels, it's full of Jesus walking, and in the way he does these things, you know. So it's important we keep up with him. He's not going to run off without you. He's going to keep coming back, because, as Steph said, he is so faithful. But why waste time? Let's keep on his tail and keep moving forward with him. In Galatians 5:22, I don't think we need to go there, because I think we probably all know that one off by heart. It lists the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And these are basically the fruits of God and the fruits that we will inherit if we follow this pattern. Because when Jesus was asked, how will we know them? He said, you'll know them by their fruit. He didn't say you'll know them by their preaching ability or their authority. You won't know them by their social standing. You won't even notice them necessarily by their influence. You will know them by their fruit. And just an interesting thing, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. And I've noticed in every translation, they're all listed in the same order. Many other scriptures, you'll get part A of one verse and part B in one translation, but they'll be twisted around in another one with the same meaning, similar words, so it's not error. But in this verse, it's the same order. And I think there's a significance to that. So I've broken them up into 3 fruits, 3 groups of 3 fruits. The first one is seemed to come automatically when we get born again, is love, getting to know God's love. Different from that agape love. I'm talking about the love that we can receive. Joy and peace. When you see someone that's just got saved, they're full of joy and peace. They think they can take on the whole world. Well, they probably can. And then after we've been walking with the Lord some time, we start to realize that this walk's not really about us. It's all about God, and it's all about other people. And we are really, conduit. Like conduit piping. God feeds something into us and we pass it on to other people. We're priests. That's really what a priest is. So we've got to get ourselves out of the picture, which is so important, because otherwise we're going to get hurt and offended, because sometimes God is not afraid of offending people. So the next 3 is patience, kindness, and goodness. Now, they're all things that obviously relate to somebody else. You've got to be patient with somebody, even though you maybe want to scream. You've got to be kind to people, even though maybe they've done nasty things to you. You've got to be good to people. These take a bit longer. And then with maturity comes the last three. Faithfulness, because faithfulness can't be measured over a year, 5 years, 10 years, or even 30 years, really. It's measured by your whole life. You can be serving the Lord faithfully for 30 years and then fall away. So the end result is you're not faithful. So this faithfulness is something that we mature into. The second one is gentleness, or another word for that is meekness. And we often think gentle, that must be so easy, but not really. When you think you've been walking with the Lord for some time now, you're a mature Christian, you've got some knowledge, you maybe even have some authority in a church or whatever, but gentleness then sometimes can be alien to us. It means strength under control. It means you can dominate, but don't. Just resist that temptation to dominate. Always prefer other people and allow them their head to move forward. And the last one is self-control. And just one little line about that. We all know what self-control is, and we might think we have self-control until we get behind the car of a wheel of a car, and then we know what self-control is. We have a living God, so we will reflect life. And this might be a bit of a controversial statement. Have you noticed that Islamics, they tend to have a very bland expression on their face? They can look very clean, they can be very nice, very ordered, but there seems to be sort of like absence of real love and affection. And it's because of what we worship. I really believe that we become like what and who we worship. Now, Jesus is alive. Jesus is a living God. So if we are worshiping him in spirit and in truth, we're going to be picking up some of his things. Now, and when Muhammad met the angel of light, which he thought was God, he had come from a very poor background. He was an orphan, as you probably know. And they had a family idol they used to worship, and it was a rock. It was a stone. And they called it Allah. So he called this God that he thought he had met that day, he called it Allah. Now you might say, what's in a name? Well, there's a lot in a name. Jesus is the name above every other name. We praise your name, Lord. We lift your name higher. And it's in the name of Jesus, demons flee. It's in the name of Jesus that healing comes, and there is salvation in no other name. So there we are. We're worshiping a God who's alive, who's full of passion. He's full of love. He's full of emotion, under control. But all those great things. I'm coming to an end. Are we nearly finished? Sorry. Right. Yes. Just to wrap up. Yeah. And just as an aside at the end, just to finish off, is that these things, don't expect them to come overnight. When I'd been saved about 6 months, I thought I was a really mature Christian and I thought I could do everything in God's name. But then God took me over the next 10-year period where he stripped away my pride. Well, he's still doing that. My selfishness, my laziness, my greediness, all those little secret sins, which those are the things that sink the boat. You know, nobody else sees them. God sees them. And even someone who really looks like a humble person. Are we really humble inside? God wants to strip all that away. And when he stripped that away, then we're mature. And it says in Isaiah 28, we don't have to go there. It talks about the kingdom coming. It talks about line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, the kingdom comes. So that tells you it's not going to be something that happens, boom, overnight. So be patient and wait for it. And I think I've finished. Thank you.